How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. I'm here. And a lot to talk about today. Last week, we spoke about CM Punk, and you know what? There's a lot more to talk about. There's more AEW to talk about, obviously, because the Saturday show is very interesting. How they're going to plan this, how they're going to do this. I'm very intrigued by this. I know a lot of you are, so we're going to break that down a little bit more. I have some more detail on this. Rampage was last night on Saturday. It was actually a pretty good Rampage. I very much like the Jon Moxley stuff. He's out of his mind. SmackDown on Friday, we'll talk about that. Stardom All-Star Grand Queendom results. All over my timeline this morning. That's all I saw. It's interesting, you know, like sometimes things shift and you know, if Mercedes was not on that Stardom show, would there be as much buzz? Because you know what? Even without Mercedes, it was a great show. Very interesting stuff here. Also, we're going to have some fun in the last segment. I'm going to bring in my producer, MG Geek. We'll talk about some older wrestling stuff. I'm always curious what people, what it was that got them into professional wrestling the way we consume it, right? It's easy to get into it when you're, you know, a kid and you're watching this crazy thing on TV and it stands out for you. But, you know, there's something that kept us here. I want to find out. I want to find out what it is for you, because I'll tell you guys what it is for me. But we have all this and a whole lot more, obviously, to talk about. Very interesting this summer. Even the stuff I'm hearing regarding what WWE's planning and then what they're going to be doing moving forward with Brock Lesnar and Cody and Roman. Very interesting stuff. Going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here, Sunday edition of the show. Hey guys, little quick reminder, the convention is coming up. You're going to be in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. I know a lot of you guys are, a lot of you girls are. Come join the convention. It's always a blast. I was there last year. It was a great time. Memorial Day weekend. You can get more information at f4wonline.com/Vegas. That's f4wonline.com/Vegas. Meet and greet opportunity, suite party, Q&A session, dinner, and a whole lot more. f4wonline.com/Vegas. You know, Double or Nothing is going to probably be the beginning of this, of the story being told here. And well, the story is the return of CM Punk. Last week, we spoke about this for multiple segments. And, you know, the feedback, because I asked for feedback for this, right? Because I want to know what you guys are thinking. The feedback is really interesting. And there's two different perspectives I'm seeing. One is the emotional perspective of this guy should not be there. What he did was totally inappropriate. And just you're creating a bad environment and you're setting a bad example by bringing him back after the outburst that he had. The other perspective is, hey, listen, it's a contract year. It's a business Tony's running. He needs the most eyeballs. He needs to have the most bang right now. You should bring him back if it's doable. I think a little bit more people are siding with the do it if you can side at this point. But, you know, this is going to be a really interesting moment. You know, does this happen again? Or are they able to coexist? Are they able to coexist in the world of professional wrestling? Well, let's go into this. On Friday, I put out, and I believe Dave also put it in the Observer. We timed this perfectly. That the first AEW Collision show, as of today, as of April 23rd, will take place at the United Center on June 17th. The last time CM Punk debuted, obviously, was a Rampage that they ran at the United Center. It was a sellout. That building was packed. They also have Dynamite scheduled at Wintrust Arena on the 21st, that the ticket sales have been a little right now. But I think with the Punk announcement, that's going to change a lot of that. You know, this is You got a Saturday show. You got I'm using hand quotes for people listening. An A1 tier Saturday show. Think of it more like how Raw and SmackDown are presented. Some people are on that brand. Some people are able to go back and forth. Obviously, CM Punk. As far as I understood, because I got this question a ton this week, is CM Punk only on Saturdays? I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe CM Punk's only on Saturdays. I believe he will be going back and forth. But it will most likely be weeks that the Bucks aren't on Dynamite or Kenny's not on Dynamite. I am hopeful that these guys are all going to make this work. I am hopeful. Whether or not they do, I don't know. I know that I can say that there has been no conversations between the Bucks and CM Punk. There's been no, I know that there possibly been attempted conversations with Kenny. I don't know whether or not they did actually talk or it was, you know, didn't happen. But I know that there was a possibility, and I know for a fact that CM Punk and Tony are talking, obviously. I also don't know if that meeting took place with Chris Jericho, CM Punk, and FTR. I don't know if, and Tony, I don't know if that happened already. I would imagine if it hasn't happened, it's happening very soon. But this is very interesting. June 17th at the United Center. This will most likely be announced at Upfronts on May 17th. Is that the date, MG? My star-studded production team here. Thank you. Star-studded. Someone fell asleep during the Stardom show, I found out, right before the show. Was that you, MG? Did you fall asleep during it?
It was a long night.
It was. I kind of know what you mean. It was a long night. You could hear it in my voice today. I had a long night, too. But, guys, listen. Very interesting stuff. You know, we're talking about this, and I say this all the time, you know, this whole CM Punk thing, it did take a lot out of me. I was bummed out by this because you invest your time in talking about it. You love the bit, you know, you love the product and you're seeing wrestling changing for the good on all fronts. Obviously, the WWE side has been doing great business too, which I'm going to talk about because I thought SmackDown was a fun show. But when you hear that stuff like this happens, it's so beyond unnecessary. And if they can make it work, you kind of want to see it happen. Now, this opens up a lot of interesting things. Like, okay, you got the Saturday show. You also have guys like Miro that are nowhere to be found. You have Andrade that's hurt, but they weren't really utilizing him in a great way. You have amazing talent like Roosh that really isn't doing much on Dynamite. And the list goes on and on. And I don't think this is a Tony Khan is not booking these guys for a reason. No, I just think that there's so many moving parts that sometimes you just get lost if it's not this great grand idea being presented to you. Now you have more of an opportunity. I'm not against the Saturday show. Let me just say that. I think a lot of people, I don't know, for whatever reason, people assume that I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a really good idea. One, the money. We don't know how much they're getting, but I can tell you they are going to get money for this. You are in a contract year. You're most likely negotiating for something. This roots you even deeper in the Warner Discovery family. And you're also trying to create, and here's the other side of this, okay? This HBO thing is very interesting to me. This Max Discovery product. They're rebranding it. They're going to have some live sports on there. I believe they did, right? They did. They put on a soccer game. Am I wrong, MG?
I can look it up, but yeah, I believe they're doing U.S. Women's soccer.
Football. There. FUTBOL. The other football. These are all things they need to work out. The BR Live concept is really weird. It doesn't really do much. AEW also has to create some sort of large library. You know, you want to be able to make some money with this. For Warner, right? You want the watch hours on the product. You know, you got 3 years of content for one show. You have your Ring of Honor archives. That's 20-something years old. That's your legacy product. You now are now adding another 2 hours. You have Rampage. You need a home for Dark Elevation and AEW Dark and everything else that you're doing. So this is all being built together. This all makes sense when you look at the grand picture of what the end goal to compete is. You're running house shows now. You're running a Saturday show. You got a pay-per-view 6 times a year, maybe more. You got Dynamite. You got all, you know, you have to organize this. And I think adding another 2 hours to get guys like Miro and Andrade and Alistair, you know, put him in singles, put Buddy Matthews in some singles and build him as a single. There's so many names that I could tell you. You're gonna need another show, especially if you're trying to elevate some new talent. Swerve Strickland, right? Swerve. He's a top-tier guy, in my opinion. You don't have too many opportunities to do this on Dynamite if you're doing a lot. As my phone goes off, because I'm very unprofessional here. My apologies. I think for Swerve, guys like Swerve, this is fantastic. You're not relegated to a 10 p.m. time slot to get over with a national audience. Now you have an 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. primetime time slot. On a rough day, Saturdays are not easy, but you have the option to present this now. I don't see that as a negative. The only negative I could see is if Tony gets burnt out. And that is not good. I want to pick it up where we left off in the next segment. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. You know, when I was on break, our other producer, John here, he's not, and this is interesting, right? So like John's, and I love these perspectives. John is not a wrestling fan. John watched it when he was like a little kid, and his real first wrestling experience to do this was All Out in Chicago 2 years ago. He came and he absolutely had a blast. He couldn't believe how awesome it was. So he has a very unique observation when it comes to pro wrestling. He also produces Wrestling Observer during the week. So John, ask the question you asked during the break, because I'll break it down a little bit, because I love to get the perspective of a non, you know, even beyond the casual fan, right? You don't watch casually. You actually do it backwards. The way you consume media is through the podcast, and then you see it a little bit on the show, on TV. So what was the question you asked?
So I've been, like, listening to all these shows, Brian and you, talk about CM Punk returning or possibly returning for, like, the past 2 months now.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so it sounds to me like Tony Khan and AEW need CM Punk to be on AEW for the show to survive. But then what can Tony Khan actually do to build somebody that has the same gravitas and would provide the same boost as CM Punk without CM Punk?
You know, that is, and that's why I wanted you to ask that question, because that is the golden question, right? How do you create the star? How do you create the star? Not a star, but the star. I think for Tony, he has a lot of young guys that will become big stars in pro wrestling. MJF is one of those, right? MJF is already a big star in wrestling. When I went to Spark Steakhouse this week, okay? I'm sitting at the bar there. I'm talking to the bartender. It's an old school steakhouse in New York. The big story about Spark Steakhouse, you could Google it. Something happened in the 80s over there. I'm sitting at the bar and I was talking to somebody and somebody brought up wrestling, obviously. And we're having a conversation and this guy comes over. He goes, hey, do you watch AEW? Obviously, he doesn't know me. I'm like, yeah, I do. He goes, he's like, yeah, you know who was here? MJF. And he brought the title belt and he put it on the bar and it was like a big deal. You know what? When the bartender's coming over and talking about that is a big deal. That is cool to see. MJF is a star. Is he a star at CM Punk's level? He could be for sure. Hangman Page, is he a star? Could he be a star on a Bret Hart level. I'm throwing a comparison. I don't know why. Maybe the cowboy thing. I see a little Bret Hart in him. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, this is my point, though, is that they could do this. They could do it, but they don't. Yeah. They're still relying on all this talk for the past, like, 3 months of CM Punk.
Because your point is, why would you want to bring him in unless you need him? I think it's necessary for the business today. For short-term thinking, I think it's important to have him. Long-term-wise, listen, he's 44 years old. How many more years is he going to be effective in the ring? How many more years does he want to do it? There's also buzz around him. And when there's buzz, you kind of want that person. I don't think he's a long-term investment for them.
Definitely.
I think this is a business decision where you're in a key business year. And listen, you know, we know that AEW was getting a second show, right? We've been talking about that for months now, even before the CM Punk stuff. When I reported this, and here's a narrative out there that I'm going to try to debunk, but I'm also going to say maybe I'm wrong here. When I was initially told about Collision, I was never told it was a CM Punk thing. CM Punk never even came up. Warner Media had no clue about the CM Punk conversation at that point. It was presented in a way that it was another show that could be an hour on Saturdays that will highlight more talent. That's why I brought up guys like Miro, and that's why I brought up Roosh and everybody else. It's not getting presented in a great way on Dynamite and even on Rampage. Now you have a unique opportunity to capture a very different audience on a Saturday early evening. That obviously changed, and it would not have changed if CM Punk was not in the conversation. So at the end of the day, how effective is CM Punk? Well, CM Punk possibly got you another hour of content to be paid for. So, you know, it's a very unique conversation. And the other thing is, you know, guys like MJF and Hangman Page do not have that WWE crossover. They weren't there. They didn't become their world champion. They didn't become a big star in that company. I you know, that goes a long way. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. You know, when AEW started grabbing a lot of the WWE guys, the complaints started. Well, why do you want to get? Well, it's becoming like TNA. Well, you need established stars on your TV. Listen, man, I could watch the Young Bucks all day and all night. I could watch Kenny Omega all day and all night. Those are big tier stars in pro wrestling. But you don't have many of those. You. Yeah, give me.
So you remember when the NBA followed Dynamite or Rampage?
The NBA followed Jericho was on? Dynamite followed the NBA, and Chris Jericho was in the opening segment, and everybody lost their minds.
And that was so much crossover. It was kind of negative, but it wasn't. It was crossover appeal. Like, wait, he still wrestles type thing. So that does matter. Getting, you know, those names going. I didn't know they still did it. I heard someone say that about Jeff Hardy this week.
Jeff Hardy's another one.
Still wrestles? Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Jeff Hardy's another one. So you need a little bit of that. The only trouble that you get in as a promotion is if your emphasis is exclusively on guys that are in their late 40s that were big stars in WWE that aren't really, you're not doing a good job to build your future talent. You know, AEW is doing a good job to build their future talent and they're getting criticized for it. Some, you know, the Four Pillars match, people are criticizing that concept. You know, where's the big star in there? Obviously they're trying to create the next big star. They need another young guy like Max. So I know this went longer, but I think it's an important conversation to have. You need a mix, and I think CM Punk does help them today. Will he help them next year?
That.
I don't know.
But this is the crux of the matter.
It is. And this stuff is so fascinating to me. Here's the other part, okay? And a lot of people are overlooking, and I say this about WWE constantly. When you are seeing what you're seeing on TV, there's more to it than just booking a really good story and a good match. You're also booking the future for merch sales, video game sales, and every other thing that they do. AEW, what do they have coming up? They got a video game coming up that has to do good for them. Not saying great. I'm not expecting this to do great for them, but it has to do good for them, this first game. You need to be able to draw as much eyeballs as possible to promote this video game. You also have toys you got to sell. You got merch you got to sell. These are all factors that come into play here. You know, with the timing of this, you're now running, a pay-per-view in a couple of weeks, in a month, right? You got Double or Nothing in a month. You got the debut of the Saturday show. You got the New Japan crossover, Forbidden Door show. You have All Out. You have All In. You have Full Gear. You have a video game. And a couple other things. We don't know what's... And you got a contract signing. You got a contract negotiation happening. You also have the looming digital presence for AEW content for there to be a hub. There's a lot of moving parts. And things need to fire. You can't misfire now. So in a long way, you should have CM Punk there. For sure. Does that help you? Does that help answer?
It does. I think what it comes down to is that if AEW could do this on their own, they probably would. But I think they benefit more out of it. And to me, it just solidifies that AEW or Tony Khan can't really do this without CM Punk.
I think. Listen, I think short term they would do fine without him. But yes. you're not gonna become a million plus consistent every week.
Yes.
If you don't have a CM Punk there. That's going to create the eyeballs and garner a lot of this. Listen, man, I thought, you know, I watched Rampage and I thought it was a really good show. And I thought it was a good show because of the Moxley segment. I thought John Moxley's doing tremendous and I enjoyed it. I also think they had an unbelievable main event. You know, I absolutely love that main event, but Vikingo. It doesn't really have a mainstream North American presence. Same thing with Jalisco. It was for the AAA title. It was unbelievable.
I think that's the point, right? And then you go back to the second show. The second show will be able to help highlight these guys.
Of course.
We talked about the four pillars the other day and how they're not up there yet. But if they get more reps, they'll start to maybe get that star power put on them. If they, you know, and I think having that second show, and because I did like that match, that Vikingo match, it was really good.
Yeah,
it's just and he's outstanding. It's just getting eyeballs on him.
Yeah, he's really impressive, and he's young. You know, he's a young guy, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to do this, but you know what is that? What does that match mean to the audience that's watching? To me, it means a lot, but I don't know what it means to the general audience. So I think all of this helps, right? All of this will help. And I think that's the fun thing here. When we come back, I want to touch on this Twitch deal. I want to talk about that WWE has set up a lot of negativity around this at first, and then it kind of changed the story. I want to talk about Mercedes and New Japan and Stardom. Will she be a Forbidden Door? We got Backlash coming up. This card is building up. It's an interesting card. They're giving away Cody and Brock on this. So I think that's going to be the big, big match here. I don't think you're going to get anything bigger than that. And I'm curious if they do the John Cena treatment. Because apparently there was a lot of parallel on what happened when the night after WrestleMania here for Cody. Also, SmackDown results I want to talk about. But, you know, this is all fun stuff. I know I spent a lot of time on AEW here, but I'm gonna pivot a little bit. Well, AEW's a big story, you know what's going on there. We're gonna go to a quick break and come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here. Having a blast with you guys. Hey, do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You can follow everything I do essentially on there, and the Wrestling Observer. I'm everywhere now. It's too much. Way too much. I'm doing too much. Stardom, this early morning, our producer Matt here, he fell asleep during it. I know he's been watching it as we're doing the show, actually. It was a really good show. I saw bits and pieces. I want to watch the Tam Nakano and Julia in its entirety. I haven't seen the full thing yet, but a lot of people were surprised that Tam Nakano defeated Julia for the World of Stardom Championship. You also had Iwatani defeating Mercedes Moné, IWGP Women's Championship. Mercedes is going, has agreed to do a contract extension with New Japan / Stardom. Per Dave, our very own Dave Meltzer, he said that her next match will likely be in the United States. There's no details on the length of this. I'm curious if this leads to Forbidden Door. I really hope it does. That's another cool piece to that AEW puzzle that you can put together, and you have a lot of dream matches there and possibilities. But I really want to... that Julia match was hard-hitting. Holy moly. Did you watch any of it, Matt?
I got to go back and watch it. I was very bummed I missed it.
Okay.
So I have
I would definitely recommend if that you check it out. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Very cool stuff.
I did see the Mayu Iwatani, that dragon suplex she finished Mercedes with. It's something Kenny would be jealous of.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, because that thing was evil. It just looked nasty. So. Yeah, good stuff, man. They changed all the championships last night.
Very good stuff.
This morning, so. Yeah.
SmackDown from Friday, Judgment Day. Damian Priest and Finn Balor defeated the LWO, Rey Mysterios. I made him Greek. Rey Mysterios. It's okay. You know what? I want to see a Greek Rey Mysterio. I'm into this. Joining the Latino World Order. Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. This went 11 and a half minutes. Zelina Vega came out and she asked for a title shot at Backlash against Rhea Ripley and later would be given it. So this is, she's going to get a nice pop in Puerto Rico. She had her slippers in her hand. Did you see that? Chanclada? I've seen that. My wife's family. I see that thing flying around the house regularly. The most devastating move in all of professional wrestling. Hit him with the slipper. Ricochet and Braun Strowman defeated the Viking Raiders. 10 minutes. They're giving these matches some time here. Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan defeated Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green to retain the titles. Intercontinental Champion Gunther defeated Xavier Woods to retain the title. I like this match. I like Xavier in his singles matches. You know, a lot of speculation of Big E's coming back the last couple days. Have you seen that?
I did. I can tell you that I know he recently had his checkup done, but he's still far off, I think. I don't think he's quite there.
Yeah, give him some time. Don't rush it.
That was a serious injury. Yeah,
very serious. No, very, very serious injury. Very, very serious. And it's nice that it's downplayed because he's okay right now, but it's scary. Very scary. No DQ match. Solo Sikoa defeated Matt Riddle, 14 minutes and 4 seconds. Sikoa wins with a flying Samoan spike. A lot of parallel comparison to Umaga with how they're presenting him. Dude, he's
every
good.
Every day seems like he's more.
Listen, you know, John Suncast, our producer in the last segment, was asking, you know, how do you create a star? What can Tony do? WWE is doing it on this end. You know, that you're seeing these stars getting created. And it's very interesting to see it happen. Gunther, 1. Solo Sikoa, 2. You know, if they give LA Knight a nice little push, you could do something with LA Knight. You got Cody, obviously. Austin Theory is going to be a big name for them. Bronson Reed is getting some TV time. A lot of interesting different names here. Things are changing. You know, you got that big boom of talent in the mid-2010s. With the Seth Rollins and the Dean Ambrose and obviously, you know, Roman Reigns. All the talent that they brought through NXT. And now this is the next run. This is the next generation of the talent. It is cool to see. It is cool to see how they piece these things together. And it's amazing because, you know, when the Shield debuted, do you remember the criticism that they got? That everybody knew that Roman would be the guy, right? And the fear was that Seth would fall apart, right? Isn't that interesting? And they were like, well, Seth may not get over. John Moxley, Dean Ambrose may not get over because he's, you know, Moxley's a big name because of the indies. But, you know, Seth is a good worker, but not a good promo. The dude is the biggest star in the company. The top five. It's interesting how things change. Sometimes you get comfortable. The talent gets comfortable and they do something cool. I'm liking the next group of, you know, young talent coming up. They're doing a good job here. Let's look at the backlash card. Go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, you and I discussed this last week about Solo Sikoa, and he might be the guy. And we said it last week. We threw it out in the world. That, hey, maybe that's the guy that ends up taking it off his own cousin.
That would be cool. Listen, that would be cool. Would be, you could do something
that,
unique
that
there.
That would be a heck of a way to, because he looks the part.
Somebody brought up.
I would not want to get caught in a bar fight across from him.
I just got
that.
A message. I'm getting yelled at. You forgot Montez Ford. No, Montez Ford is definitely going to be a big star in that company. It's just a matter of when they do it and what kind of program they put him in to really push him. I very much like Montez. I think they could do something very unique with him. He has a great crossover audience, too. You know, a younger audience. He gets it. His wife's a big star. They did that thing with Kevin Hart, if you saw. Very cool stuff. Let's look at this backlash card here. Taking place in Puerto Rico in a couple weeks. First time in Puerto Rico since, for many, many years. What was it? 2005, 6, 7, 8?
I can look it up. It's something like that, though.
When,
it was a long time ago.
When Lita got very hurt at that. She busted up her knees at that show. You got the Usos and Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle. All right, cool. Riddle's in the middle of this. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. You know what my problem with Matt Riddle is? He needs to put on shoes. I know that that's his thing, but he needs to put on boots. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. I saw a video on YouTube, and it was drawing a comparison. It was almost identical to John losing at WrestleMania. To Cody losing at WrestleMania, and the next day, Brock Lesnar coming out and destroying him. And, you know, that was a hot program. Whether you do one match or two matches or however you do this, I think this is very important. You make this work for Cody. And you don't make him look like a jabroni. But it's a very unique match that we have not seen before. It's a crossover generational match, which I think it's smart to do.
Real quick, New Year's Revolution, 2005 is the last time I've been in Puerto Rico.
Revolution, not resolution, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2005. Okay, so I was close. Look, I said 2005. Look at that. The memory's
right.
Holding up.
Right. Good for you.
The holes in my wrestling memory is probably after Benoit to the pipe bomb. Like, I have a lot of holes. There was a lot of weird main events around that time frame. A lot of strange matchups. Well, that's probably my worst of. Like, when I talk about, like, my lack of pro wrestling interest, I lost a ton of interest in that time frame. And then it came back, you know, a couple years, and I got the bug again. You got the United States title on the line. Austin Theory defends against Bronson Reed and Bobby Lashley. SmackDown Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley defending against Zelina Vega. Obviously, Zelina's going to be the big hometown babyface here. Even though she's from New York. Seth Rollins. I think she's from Flushing. Is she from Flushing? I think she's from my neck of the woods.
I think she's very close to you, actually. Yeah.
And so is Rebby. I think Rebby Hardy is from my area, too. There's a lot of people in wrestling. Matt Stryker, he's from Bayside. He taught at Cardoza High School, my former high school. a lot of pro wrestling connections here. Pat Buck, he's from Queens. A lot of pro wrestling happens here. We got Rhea Ripley against Zelina Vega. Seth Rollins versus Omos. That was randomly announced on SmackDown. This Omos stuff. I thought the Brock Lesnar match was I was wrong on that. I hope I'm wrong about this too, but I'm not interested in this. Are you?
I am like, I don't know how to feel about this, because I'm like, I looked at it, I was like, wait, neither of these guys perform regularly on SmackDown at all, and they just randomly announced this match on SmackDown, two Raw guys, and there's been no buildup. So I guess this is similar to how a UFC would put a fight together, right? They would say, hey, here's the fights based on rankings and whatever, and then it's up to the fighters to promote the fight.
To promote it.
So I guess that's what we're doing here.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with this. I think it's a weird matchup for sure, but we'll get to something, I'm sure, eventually. There was a story that came out on Wednesday. WWE reached a deal to allow talent back on Twitch. Revenue earnings will be split three ways between WWE, the talent, and Twitch, and the talent and Twitch receive most of what is generated, is being reported. Also, the talent get a bigger cut than a regular Twitch streamer would, a high-tier Twitch streamer would. So WWE negotiated it. I spoke to somebody about this, and apparently talent, this is very talent friendly. That's what those were the words that were used. This is very talent friendly for them.
I noticed a bunch of them jumped back on this week. Like Dakota Kai is back, and I know there's others that probably will come back and even start now because they can do this.
Are they using and what name are they using?
The whatever handle they had. They don't necessarily have to be their it can be whatever handle. Some of them were before they even were with WWE. I think Dakota's Charlie Girl or something, which is
the, but is she saying she's Dakota Kai when she's taught? Like, is she, you know,
or is she just whoever she is? I haven't watched any of her stuff, so I don't know.
All right, I'm curious about this.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find one of her streams and check it out. I'm sure somebody does.
Yeah, the Switchy is going to be good for them for sure. It's a positive here, so I don't see that. Also, Warner Media, I being interested in WWE, I think that story that came out is a little it was a little bit more speculation than anything else. I'll say that. I think it was
sounds
a little
like an
bit
answer
more
to a broad question.
Of yeah, it is a broad question, but would they be interested? Of course. How could you not be? How could you not be interested in a really big product? That gets millions of viewers. How could you not be interested? But are they, you know, actually interested? I don't think it's a reality. I'll just say it that way. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment coming up. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live. Final few minutes of the show here on Sports Byline. Getting a lot of feedback about my turning Rey Mysterio Greek. I think that's what we're going to do. I think we're going to come up with new gimmicks for everybody. We got French Tony Khan that calls into Matman every week now. It's crazy. That guy's nuts. If you haven't checked it out, I don't know. He calls with some wacky ideas. I don't know what's going on there. Very interesting stuff. So, Matt, out of all the stuff that happened this week, what was the biggest story for you?
Well, because it's fresh in my mind. Well, there's two. One is the MJF, and that they actually had a match on Dynamite that ended in a DQ or a count out,
yeah,
and which they haven't done before, so that was interesting. And then the Stardom show with all the titles changing, I thought was interesting. So so they seem to be resetting things there. I would love to see U.S. promotion try that more, because that's
I'm trying to think. When was the last time we saw that? When was the last time we saw
all
the titles change in one night? You know, in a pay in a, on a pay per view or whatever. I can't
in a U.S. promotion.
Yeah,
because I think New Japan did it in Dominion like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. New Japan did it, but I don't remember it happening in a U.S. promotion.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I know that they did that WCW reset, but that I'm not counting that. I'm not going back that far. I think we've had multiple title changes. I just don't know if everything has changed. I also think that we have way too many titles in the U.S. Way too many titles. Guys, we're wrapping it up here. We'll be back next week with another Sunday edition of Wrestling Observer Live. Follow me on Twitter @AndrewZarian. We'll see you all next time. Take care.